Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you in the bottom of the eighth inning of a 6-3 ball game with the bad guys leading 6-3. Looks like runners on second and third, one out here. Varsho up to bat, just fouled one off. We're going to bring you the play-by-play, finish this one out. Full transparency with y'all. This is one of those where I thought to myself before I hit go live, let's get this one out of the way. This does not feel like a very great game. Rangers still have three more outs, but it's looking bleak right now. And there's a lot to unpack in this one. A lot to unpack, especially as the trade deadline approaches here on Tuesday. Crazy enough, the Jays actually just traded another player. They've now traded three players away in this series with the Rangers, and they're three outs away from a series win. Jays have traded away three players now. If you didn't hear the news, they just traded away Danny Jansen, who was hitting in the middle of their order yesterday. Looks like the Rangers are going to get out number two, but another run will come across on a sac fly from Varsho. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. comes across, scores the seventh run for the Jays here. Dane Dunning out there trying to be an innings eater. Dane's had, I would say, a little bit of an uneven outing today. It hasn't been terrible, but it hasn't been super sharp. The reality is the Rangers are in a little bit of a tough spot with a deficit today. But look, Dane Dunning, can't say that I'm impressed with the outing that he's had. Seven base runners in 2 2/3 innings. Dane has not been sharp. And I know that he's coming off of an injury, spent a little bit of time down in the minors doing a little rehab, but Dane has not been good today. Real unfortunate because the Rangers got an outstanding relief performance from Jose Ureña. Ureña went 4 1/3, gave up 5 hits, no walks, only 1 earned run. Ureña was outstanding today. Looks like the Rangers are going to get out of the eighth inning. 7-3 the score. Three outs left in the game. We will see if the Rangers can go down with at least a little bit of a fight here. We've got Langford, Garcia, and Lowe coming up in the top of the ninth inning. Let's check comments right now before we get into everything here. Aaron goes with the comment here. This loss is on Lorenzen. Aaron, what's up, by the way? Thanks for tuning into the channel. I think 100% Mike Lorenzen didn't have his A game today. Like 1,000% Mike Lorenzen was off today. And just terrible timing. Absolutely terrible timing for Mike Lorenzen to have an outing like this right before the trade deadline. Look, Mike Lorenzen has not been as good as he was at the beginning of the year. I think they showed a stat. I'm not going to remember exactly what it was. But basically, like, if you take the first half of Lorenzen's season and the second half of Lorenzen's season so far, so there's been 105 games played. Basically, the point was Mike Lorenzen has not been good over his last several starts in the second half of the Rangers season thus far. So you were really hoping to get a quality outing from Lorenzen right before the trade deadline. I kind of thought to myself before the game today, this is probably going to be Lorenzen's last start as a Ranger. I really don't know what the market is going to be for him after this start. I would assume maybe there's still some takers out there, but I would say Lorenzen needed to at least have an even keel start. Didn't have to be outstanding, but you really wanted him to at least go 5, maybe only give up 2 or 3 runs, but he had a full-blown first inning meltdown. I will say this, Lorenzen needed to have responded better after the Josh Smith misplay. Josh Smith doesn't get an error on that play, much like Corey Seager did not get an error on missing the base on the attempted double play in the first inning last night. But 100%, Josh Smith should have made that play with 2 outs on a hard hit ball by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You go to StatCast, you go to Baseball Savant, that expected batting average on the Vladdy Guerrero first inning ground ball that Josh Smith misplayed was like 110. That means that had an 11% chance of being a base hit. For me, Josh Smith has got to make that play. You can sit around and talk about how it was a tough play, how it got ruled a hit, blah, blah, blah. The scorekeeper is going to be generous to the Blue Jays hitters there. So a lot of people online saying that shouldn't have been, that was a hit. It shouldn't have been an error. You know, can't fault Josh Smith. 100% you can. The XBA, the expected batting average, on that ball from Vladdy Guerrero Jr. was 110. Josh Smith is a major league third baseman who's been playing very good defense for us. Look, it happens, but it's 100% a play that Josh Smith should have made. There's no other way that you can skin that one. Josh Smith should have made the play, and we should have been out of the first inning before any of the runs are scored. Just like last night, when Corey Seager doesn't touch second base, it allowed the inning to continue. We should have been out of that inning, and none of the first inning runs score if Corey Seager makes that first inning play. Same exact literal carbon copy for today's game. Josh Smith makes that play on a ball that had an expected batting average of 110, and the Rangers are out of the inning. And probably an entirely different game going on right now, as Wyatt Langford grounds out in the top of the ninth inning for the Rangers' first out. Kevin Gausman's going for the complete game right now. Gausman is still in, and Gausman did not have good numbers against the Rangers batters, at least coming into this one. Gausman's a guy that the Rangers have been able to hit. He has been good today. He has been really good today. Three runs allowed, and after the first three innings, he's been basically shut down, locked down. Rangers have not scored a run since the third inning in this one. Typical Rangers game. You score early, you don't score again. I mean, look, that's the Rangers season in a nutshell. Score early, hope the pitching is 100, and then hand it off to the bullpen to save the game for you. In this case, the pitching wasn't 100, and that's maybe an understatement. Jose Urania, obviously a great game from him, but Dane Dunning and Mike Lorenzen did not bring their A stuff today. And I'm not going to fault Dane Dunning for this loss. Mike Lorenzen not responding well after the Josh Smith misplay was really the story of the game. And then from there on, yeah, Jose Urania comes in really into a super tough spot and has a really solid outing for us. Is Jose Urania now a possible trade piece? That's what I was thinking. Maybe go ahead and sub out Mike Lorenzen, sub in Jose Urania for guys that might get traded. I mean, there's got to be a team that looks at Jose Urania and what he's done and is interested. I mean, I would think. Just me. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard a lot of Jose Urania talk in the trade market, but I will say this, with how well he's been pitching, I wonder if they're going to go ahead and sub in Jose Urania. I don't know how many teams are really going to be interested in Mike Lorenzen at this point. Mike Lorenzen doesn't get enough swing and miss. He walks too many guys. I think you could maybe make an argument, and we're not trying to take away too much from him, but I think you could make an argument that Mike Lorenzen has been getting a little bit lucky. Speaking of luck, Adolis Garcia just got super unlucky. Laser shot to right field. And once again, the Jays outfield, which is the best defensive outfield in Major League Baseball, according to the stats and numbers. George Springer lays out, makes an incredible play on a ball down the line. Look, the Rangers have one out in the top of the ninth, and they're down by four. The chances of the Rangers coming back and winning this ballgame are slim to none, as it is. But second out of the inning on an outstanding play by right fielder George Springer on a laser by Dolie. I'm curious what the exit velo was on that. 101 off the bat from Dolie, line drive to right field. And now we've got one more batter before the Rangers will go down two straight losses and a series loss to the Jays. Nate Lowe, the final hope here. Let's see what he can do. Fans are on their feet. 2-1 count at this point. Rangers down 4-7-3 in the top of the ninth. 3-1 count now on Nate Lowe. And by the way, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate everybody watching right now live, or if you're watching on the replay, thank you so much. Of course, here at Ride on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. If you're not following, not subscribed to the channel yet, please do so. Hit that follow or subscribe button. Get notified every time we go live. Stay up to date with all of our latest and greatest content. 3-2 count now on Nate Lowe. Let's see if he can extend the game a little bit. Who knows? A little two-out rally. The Jays have been doing that pretty much all series long. So maybe the Rangers can take a turn. That sure would be nice. A little two-out rally here. Seems like every time the Jays are scoring runs, it's with two outs in this series. And you can put that one a little bit on the pitchers, I think. Gausman, I agree. Aaron, thanks so much again for the comments today, bud. Gausman's been good today. Or Gausman, sorry. I got corrected by a couple of Jays fans on other socials. Gausman. Can't keep up with all the pronunciations, y'all. I do my best. But Gausman's been good today. And again, Rangers had pretty good numbers against him coming into this one. Give them some credit. The Jays have put together a couple of good games. They have. And now it looks like Nate Lowe is going to walk to extend this one. So that'll bring up Jonah Heim. Rangers are down four. Don't know if they're going to go to the pen now or not, or just keep letting Gausman throw here. Little mound visit in order, but Nate Lowe draws a walk. Nate Lowe, by the way, on the day 0 for 3. Looks like Gausman will continue. Heim takes a strike on the outside corner. Jonah Heim 0 for 3 today. Man, he actually really killed it, I feel like, last year in Toronto. 0 for 3 right now and hasn't done a ton today, but he was, I believe, 1 for 3 or 4 yesterday with a couple of RBI with the bases loaded. Did have an opportunity in the first inning with the bases loaded. Didn't quite come through, but redeemed himself a little later in the game last night. Two quick strikes on Heim, and the Rangers are down to their last strike here. Nate Lowe on first base, 4-run deficit at this point. I did see that the Yankees acquired Jazz Chisholm from the Marlins. So Yankees out of bat. That offense has been pretty terrible lately outside of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. So I figured the Yankees were going to add somebody. I would like to see the Rangers add somebody at this point. I don't know. Maybe CY is still kind of teetering on the edge right now. We heard the Rangers were going to be buyers. I know Texas Rangers fans only kind of did some correcting last night, perhaps rightfully so. Maybe the Rangers are just seeing how things go over the next two games, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I would really love to have seen. I would have loved after the White Sox series. After the White Sox series, it's a 2.5 game lead. Would have loved to have seen the Rangers go get somebody right then. I know it doesn't always work out that way, but I would have loved to have seen. Make a move right then. The team's hot. We're 2.5 games out. Make a move right then. Get a bat. Inject some positive energy into the club. I know maybe that's an emotional hot take, but I feel like that would have been the time to have added right then. You're 2.5 out. You just swept the White Sox. You're on the move to Toronto. That would have been nice. I really feel like injecting that positive energy into the club, going to get a bat right then would have been a big move for the Rangers. Now you kind of do the wait and see thing. How is the Blue Jay series going to go? And look, I'm not saying that that would have saved the series. And I do think making the trade on Friday yesterday after, you know, a series win against the White Sox, again, might have been an emotional reaction. But I would have liked to have seen it. I think that was the time to strike. You've seen a lot of teams making moves in the days before the deadline, not waiting until Tuesday. I think the Rangers could have easily justified going out and getting somebody on Friday. And I know you're going to see a lot of people, a lot of Rangers fans, wanting to sell, wanting to trade everybody off. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. The Rangers win a couple of games here, Sunday, Monday. I still think they're right in the mix. Obviously, they're going to do some scoreboard watching today. We'll see what happens with the Astros. We'll see what happens as well with the Mariners. Who knows? I don't expect the White Sox to get a whole lot done against the Mariners. Maybe the Dodgers can start giving the Astros some trouble, but the Dodgers don't have Freddie Freeman right now. Mookie Betts is out. The Astros are definitely catching the Dodgers at a good time, at a great time. So I'm not holding out a lot of hope that the Astros, the Mariners, are going to help us out by losing this weekend. But would have liked to have seen CY in the front office make a move right away after the White Sox win on Thursday. Would have been nice. You've got a lot of teams dealing right now, going to get guys right now. Jazz Chisholm acquired from the Marlins by the Yankees today. Danny Jansen is going to be shipped out by the Blue Jays as well. So I think Boston that made that move? I don't know. I'll have to check that out. But I know Danny Jansen getting traded away from the Jays today. A lot of teams making moves for bats. I don't know where CY in the front office are at, but I really do feel like, agree or disagree, the time to strike would have been Friday. Make a move on Friday, go get somebody, and ride the winning streak. Keep the positive vibes high. And I really don't know what the Rangers are going to be feeling like doing at this point, coming off two losses. I could still see them being buyers. I think tomorrow's a big game. I think you tailspin into the deadline with 3 or 4 straight losses. I don't know. I don't know what the move is going to be. Off the top of my head, the Rangers lose 4 in a row heading into the deadline. I can't imagine that they are going to be doing a ton of buying or any kind of major buying. Deadline, Aaron, by the way, though, is on Tuesday, so just want to make sure we're good on that. Tuesday is the deadline, July 30th. So you basically got tomorrow and Monday to make an impression because the deadline will occur before that second game with the Cardinals starts. So I don't know. I think they've got two games, and I think if you lose four in a row before the deadline, I really find it hard to think that the Rangers are going to be buying a big name, a big bat at the deadline. I find it very hard to believe if we go four straight losses into the deadline that we're going to be making big moves, buying players. I could still see if there's a taker on Lorenzen, you sell Lorenzen to somebody, maybe you listen on Urania. I think that the Rangers would still be willing to kind of stand pat at this point, because even if you lose four straight here, you're still not totally out of it. So I don't know if you need to sell off the entire team like Evo and Heaney. I would be really surprised to see that happen. But I don't think the Rangers are going to be doing a lot of buying if you lose four straight going into the deadline. This kind of plays into what CY was talking about earlier in the week. This team has just been notorious this year. You know, one step forward, two steps back. You go on a five-game winning streak, then you go to Toronto and drop two against a team that is selling at the deadline. You just can't make this up. You can't make it up. Toronto is actively selling players while we're playing them. And that takes me into something that I know I mentioned in the headline of the live video today. Where's Corey Seager right now? Where's Marcus Semien right now? Where's Josh Smith in this stretch? Look, I'm sorry. I love all those guys. And y'all have heard me sing their praises all year long. But these are games where you need Corey Seager hitting home runs. You need Marcus Semien going multi-hit. You need Josh Smith being the guy that he's been all year. And look, I know that Simi gets on base a couple of times. He had a walk and a hit today. Seager, I know he had a hit today, 1-for-4. Josh Smith goes 0-for. Dolie continues to be on a little bit of a positive trend. But I'm sorry, you know, Corey Seager and Marcus Semien have got to be coming up clutch for us. You know, in the late innings, in that eighth inning, it's a 3-run game in the eighth, and they're up to bat. And it's not likely that the Rangers are going to come back at that point when you're down 3. But I will say this, watching them just meekly get out in the late innings, I don't know. I think to myself, you guys are the highest paid on the team. And in some of these games where you can tell, we gotta win these games. We have got to win these games. I do assign some blame to the star players that are getting paid the most money. Josh Smith, maybe we can cut him a break. He has been so good for us all year. Josh Smith isn't getting paid the big bucks. These are games where you need Corey Seager and Marcus Semien hitting extra base hits and home runs. And I know Semien had a triple today, if you look in the box score, but let's be very, very clear. That ball, I think, had an XBA of under 100. Expected batting average of under 100. Marcus Semien didn't smoke that that triple. It wasn't in the gap, and Semi used his wheels. It was on a very meek fly ball that was perfectly placed. Springer not able to get to it. I don't know, y'all. I'm going to give a little bit of blame today to the top of the lineup. You needed home runs and RBIs from the top of the order today. Look, it was a one-run game going into the fourth inning, the top of the fourth. It's a one-run ball game. And in the top of the fourth inning, I'm just going to go back and kind of go through some key moments with you. Top of the fourth inning, we had Heim up, Tavares up, Kisner up, 1-2-3. Then going into the top of the fifth inning, you had Semien, Seager, Smith go 1-2-3. It's a one-run ball game, top of the fifth. And then after that, the Jays in the bottom half tack on a run, make it a 2-run game. Bottom of the sixth, they make it a 3-run game. Bottom of the eighth, they make it a 4-run game. So top of the fifth inning, we got our best hitters up going 1-2-3. So 100%, I'm not going to sit around and pretend like Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, because they each got a hit today, are totally absolved from this. You need the guys who are getting paid multi-millions every year to show up in these games. The season is hanging in the balance. Look, you felt like after the five-game win streak, the Rangers had played their way out of being hard sellers, and maybe they still have. Maybe they still have. I think everything's on the table if you lose four in a row going into the deadline. I think everything is on the table. Nothing is going to shock me. If the Rangers drop tomorrow, drop Monday, nothing's going to shock me. I think you win the next two games. You win tomorrow and you win Monday in St. Louis. I could see the Rangers maybe still continuing to go out and buy something at the deadline. I know I've talked about it, but Aaron's bringing up Paredes from the Tampa Bay Rays, who seemed to be in full sail mode as well. He could be a guy that the Rangers acquire, kind of a corner infield type. I don't know. The Rangers lose four straight going into the trade deadline. Nothing is going to surprise me. It's not going to shock me if they start selling off a few guys that maybe we didn't think were touchable going into the deadline. I don't think that anything is off the table if you drop four straight after a five-game win streak. And this is what the Rangers have been doing a lot of this year. Again, the quote from CY, this team just takes one step forward and two steps back every time. And I don't want to overreact to the loss today, but you should have won the game yesterday. You had a terrible miscue by Josh Smith today on a ball that had an expected batting average of 110 off the bat of Vladdy Guerrero Jr. That would have been the third out of the inning. I can't sit around here and pretend like these star players don't need to be more accountable. We need Corey Seager hitting homers in games like this. I know it's easier said than done. We at least need Corey Seager driving the ball to the outfield, getting extra base hits. Same thing for Marcus Semien. Dolley had a nice game today. Wyatt Langford was on base a couple of times today. But nevertheless, we need more from the top of the order. We need the top of the order to put the team on their backs and get us across the finish line. This was a game, again, you're down one run at into the fifth inning, and you can't tack on. I think the fifth inning, to me, I circled that one as being so huge. You had the top of your order coming up, Simi, Seager, and then you had Josh Smith. And then if anybody gets on, Langford Garcia. That was the inning. You had the momentum. You just made it a one-run game in the top of the third. That was your inning with the top of the order coming up to do some damage. And you just can't tack on. The top of the order goes 1-2-3, and then the Jays keep extending their lead. I thought that top of the fifth inning was absolutely huge with Simi, Seager, and Smith going 1-2-3 meekly. And then after that, you have the Jays add on all their insurance runs, and that's all she wrote. The top of the order has to come through. Tomorrow, I'm paying very close attention to those guys. Marcus Semien, Seager, Smith, they have to have big games tomorrow. Cannot get a blasé game from any of them. A 1-for-4 with a single. No. Right now, we need extra base hits and homers from the top of our order. It's time. It's time. I think that plenty of times in baseball, you can look good in the box score, but you didn't come through when they most needed you to. The Rangers needed them in the top of that fifth inning to get the momentum and keep it and add on and tie the game or take the lead. That was the opportunity. And then you allow the Jays to tack on runs. We need better from the top of the order right now. So, look, anybody saying, well, they got a couple hits today. Semien was on base twice. Seager was on base once. It's not enough. When the season's on the line, this is like playoff baseball. We're not going to win a lot of games in the playoffs when Seager, Semien go 1-for-4 with no RBI. I know Simi, I think, had no RBIs from the top three spots. When you're not getting any RBI from the top three, it's just not ideal. I know that the bottom of the order was abysmal as well, so I know that that might be the rebuttal. Well, Semien didn't have anybody on base for him. That's true. Heim, Tavares, and Kisner all go 0-for-3. And look, Jonah Heim, maybe he needed a day off today. That kind of takes me into my next point. I don't really understand. Andrew Kisner just caught Max Scherzer. Why is he catching again today? Maybe Jonah Heim has got some kind of injury. I told y'all last night, can we just get Robbie Grossman DHing? Seriously, I would love to have Robbie Grossman DH against righties at this point. There is no reason why Andrew Kisner needs to be starting two out of three games a catcher. He just started two games ago for the Scherzer start on Thursday. Why is Andrew Kisner catching again? In a time in the season where you need your best hitters at the plate. So I don't know if Jonah is dealing with something. If y'all heard anything, let me know. But for me, it's pretty inexcusable that Andrew Kisner is catching two out of three games at perhaps the most pivotal point in the year. I don't know. That was a baffling decision to me. Robbie Grossman has actually been on a pretty good clip. I'm going to go and look it up. And granted, I know that Robbie Grossman only usually is in there against lefties. He has, it feels like, getting a few at-bats against righties, though, of late. Robbie Grossman has 5 hits in his last 3 games. So you tell me, why is Andrew Kisner playing today? He just played in the Scherzer start 2 games ago. Why is he playing again today after a loss at a pivotal point in the season? Unless Schoenheim is ailing, that move to me is borderline criminal. Andrew Kisner is not one of our better hitters. He's hitting 167 on the year. You got Robbie Grossman in his last seven games hitting 500. Robbie Grossman is hitting 500 in his last seven games. Granted, I understand he is a lefty starter specialist platoon guy, but he has been getting at bats against righties lately. He's clearly feeling it up at the plate. He's got three walks over his last 17 at bats. He's seeing the ball well. Why would you not play Robbie Grossman today? I'd much rather. Does any Rangers fan want to see Andrew Kisner hitting over Robbie Grossman? And granted, I know Schoenheim was the DH today. Jonah just got a day off from catching a couple of days ago. Dude, you don't need another one 2 days later. We need you right now. Schoenheim needed to be catching today, and Robbie Grossman needed to be the DH. Andrew Kisner at the bottom of the order in the ninth spot, that's the last thing that I want to see. The last thing I want to see. So, didn't love that move today. Don't know what the method, what the mentality was. Kisner, righty on righty against Gausman. I don't know if Kisner had good numbers against Gausman or what. I really don't care. Robbie Grossman's hitting 500 over his last seven games. Put Robbie Grossman at DH against righty starters at this point until you get Josh Jung back. I have no idea why that wasn't the play today. No Rangers fan wants to see Andrew Kisner get ABs over Robbie Grossman, and Schoenheim just got a day off from catching responsibilities 2 days ago. Baffling move to me. Not the reason why they lost today, in my opinion. Not the reason they lost. But we break down just about everything on this show, Rangers Baseball. And I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that Bochy decided to hit Kisner today instead of a guy hitting 500 over his last seven games in Robbie Grossman. Okay, we got to move on. I could keep going and ranting about that for the next probably 15 minutes. I just do not get it at all. Let me go to comments here. Aaron says they need to show up and put work in, not just show up and just not give 100%. Simi, Sieg, Smith, our power hitters need to do work. 1,000,000%. I'd like this 1,000 times if I could. Like, your top hitters can't just go 1-for-4 with no RBI in these clutch games where you need the Rangers to be playing at their full potential. We need Seager hitting bombs right now, driving the ball to the outfield for extra base hits. Granted, when the bottom of the order goes over, you're not going to have a lot of opportunities for the top of your order. But Marcus Semien, everybody's got to be better. Everybody's got to be better. And you know what? The guys getting paid tens of millions of dollars per year are going to bear the most blame. And regardless of how much I love Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, all those guys, we need them to start getting extra base hits and RBI in these big spots. When you feel that the team is kind of teetering on the brink, right? And at that point, in the top of the fifth inning, you have the top of your order coming up with a chance to tie the game. You have got to take the game by the horns, put the team on your back as the guy who was World Series MVP last year, Semien, all of his silver slugger, most RBI for a second baseman in the major leagues or in the American leagues, excuse me. You got to start putting your team on the back in clutch situations. I'd like to see that tomorrow from Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Josh Smith, and everybody in the top five. Dolly's been having better ABs. I've been really impressed with him. I'm not going to rail at all on Adolis Garcia. I've been very, very impressed with him over the last several games. I think every Rangers fan should be. He should have had two hits today. George Springer robbed him of a hit in the late innings. Should have had two hits today with a walk. Dolly has been looking much, much better. Much better. Oh, my goodness. So I'm not going to fault him today. Wyatt Langford, I thought he saved a run out in the outfield. Wyatt Langford, to me, has been playing well also over the last several games. Josh Smith, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien. I want to see more from them when it matters. When it matters. When you're up on the White Sox, you know, in a 10-2 ball game, great, you got a couple of hits. The game was out of hand and you were successful up at the plate. Congratulations. But when we actually need you to be clutch, when we're down a run, when we're down two runs, whatever the case may be, when we need you to be clutch, could you come through? When we're padding stats up on the White Sox, I really could care less. But could you come through when we're down in the late innings and we need you? That's what I want to start seeing from the guys on this team that are getting paid a ton of money. And I love all of them. Love Simi, love Seager, Josh Smith, Langford, Dolley. Love all those guys. But this is the playoffs right now, and we need more. Let me keep going. Bottom of the order. Gio, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Bottom of the order was terrible today. 0 for 10 or whatever they were. It was bad. It was bad. And that's why I say Robbie Grossman, can we see him tomorrow? If it's a righty, I want to see Grossman in the DH spot. No reason not to. Robbie hitting 500 over his last seven games. Give him a shot. He can't be worse than Jankowski has been at the DH spot. He can't be worse than Kisner. Jonah Heim, I feel like somebody's got to ask the question, and maybe they have. Is Jonah Heim hurt? Is he ailing in some way, shape, or form that you needed to give him a second day off in three games? He just caught Scherzer. Andrew Kisner did. I don't know. I don't get it. Josh Smith, Natalie says, is not a real three-hole hitter. Look, with how well he's been playing, I think you can make the argument that he's a fine three-hole hitter, but we ideally would like to have a guy with more pop than Josh Smith. I will give you that. Ideally, you want somebody that can hit 30, 35 homers in your three spot. And Josh Smith is not that kind of player. He's a guy that can flirt with maybe 275, maybe 300 batting average. And so from that viewpoint, I think you like that from your three-hole hitter. But I'm 100% with you. I would prefer to have a guy that can hit at least, let me be a little bit more realistic, 25 bombs. I'll take a guy that can hit 25 bombs, even 20. I don't know if Josh Smith is going to get there this year or not. Maybe he will. But ideally, you want 25-plus homers from your three spot. That's what I'd like to see. So I do agree. Prototypical, no. Aaron says, I think he was responding to me saying, who would you rather have, Grossman or Kisner? He says, no, I don't even want to see Kisner catching, unless it's for Max. I totally agree. I want somebody to ask Bochy that. What was the decision to go Kisner today after he had just started the Scherzer start? So that's what makes me think maybe Jonah's hurt. That's the only reasonable explanation, is Jonah's got some kind of ailment. Otherwise, it is criminal to start Kisner for the second game in 3 days. He's hitting 176, y'all. I know he's had a couple of hits in his last few games. He's hitting 176. Come on now. Natalie says, I think Langford or Young need to be the three-hole. Yeah, I could see that. When Young comes back, I think when we face a lefty, we're going to see Josh Young in the three spot. I think you can almost pencil that in and take that one to the bank. When Josh Young comes back against lefties, I can almost guarantee eventually, maybe they don't do it right away, but he's going to be our three-hole hitter. Josh Young crushes lefties. Now, against righties, there's a little bit more struggle. Not that he like falls off a cliff, Josh Young, against righties, but we'll see. In the right-handed pitching lineup, I don't know if we're going to see Young there or not. I'd like to see, and maybe you could make an argument, Wyatt Langford needs to move back up to that spot. I've been a big advocate of keeping him where he is right now. But if Dolley heats up and Josh Smith, you know, even if he continues to get base hits, but the power isn't there, I do think a natural move is to move everybody up. Maybe you have Nate Lowe, Josh Young, and then have Josh Smith hit more six or seven. I don't know. Let me see what Josh Smith, before we, you know, totally write Josh Smith off, let me just look at the stats. Whenever I get too down on a player, y'all, I always got to go back to the stats, get a little truth serum before I run my mouth too much. So last seven games, Josh Smith hitting 192. Last 15 games, Josh Smith hitting 226. Last 30 games, Josh Smith hitting 259. That's not ideal from a three-hole hitter. It's not. Now, the OBP isn't bad. 372 over his last 30, 354 over his last 15, 267, though, over his last seven. Josh Smith is not the hottest hitter in the Rangers lineup right now. In fact, he is probably one of the colder hitters in the Rangers lineup, and it just so happens that right now he's in the three-hole. I do think Josh Young, when he comes back, is probably going to occupy that position, if I had to guess. I do think they'll maybe consider or talk about moving Wyatt up to third, moving Dolley back to the four spot. Maybe you have Josh Young fifth against righties, and then you have Nate Lowe, Josh Smith kind of mixed in there. I don't know. But Josh Young fifth against righties. Maybe you bat him third against lefties. Josh Jung crushes lefties. I think Josh Smith could see himself start dropping in the order a little bit. I don't think he's going to find himself out of the order yet, but I do think the Rangers aren't going to mess around a ton this year. Y'all heard me early last week. I told y'all, I don't think this is the time for Bochy to care about anybody's feelings. Great, Josh Smith, you've been hitting third for us for a while. He might need to get dropped if he can't start figuring it out in these big games with the season in the balance. And I think that goes for anybody. I don't think Corey Seager and Marcus Semien are going to get dropped. Neither would you want them to be. But some of these guys that are popping and having good years for us right now, but don't necessarily have the track record, I don't think there's anything wrong with moving them up and down in the lineup as needed. You got to squeeze as much as you can out of this lineup. So I'm curious to see what they do. Let me start going to the box score here, guys. There's a lot that we've already covered. I talked about Josh Smith in the first inning. That Vladdy Guerrero Jr. ground ball had an XBA, expected batting average of 110. Josh Smith got to make that play in the first inning. Don't care that the homer scorekeeper in Toronto gave Vladdy a base hit there and not an error to Josh Smith. The people that champion that, it baffles me. I would much rather look at the expecting batting average on Baseball Savant than look at what the homer scorekeeper gave on the play. So I know the scorekeeper gave Vladdy a hit. It doesn't matter. The expected batting average on that ground ball in the first inning that Josh Smith misplayed had a 110 expected batting average, an 11% chance of being a base hit. Come on now. Josh Smith got to make that play. And Mike Lorenzen melts down after that. He's got to be better. Can't melt down after a miscue. You got to come back, make a play, and then get out of the inning. Mike Lorenzen didn't do that today. Don't know if he just wasn't mentally sharp, maybe worried about the trade talks. Who knows what was going on with Mike Lorenzen today. But I think Josh Smith has got to make that play. I'm tired of two-out errors killing us in the first inning. Seager not touching the base yesterday on the attempted double play. Josh Smith not fielding a ball that had an XBA of 110, whatever it was. My goodness. All right, let me keep going. We talked about the top of the order needing to be better. Top of the order was 2-for-11 today. Got to have better from the 1-2-3. Langford 1-for-4 today. I think he continues to hit the ball well. Dolley 1-for-3 with the walk. Nate Lowe was 0-for today with the walk. At least getting on base one time. The bottom of the order was terrible. Got to have better from Heim, Tavares, Kisner. They all went 0-for today, 0-for-10 with a couple of strikeouts. Not pretty. Just not pretty. Nate Lowe did leave runners in scoring position with two outs. We only had two opportunities with runners in scoring position today, and we were 1-for-2. The team batted 500 with runners in scoring position today, but that was because we only had two opportunities. That's not going to cut it in a game where your season is on the brink. Four runners left on base. Just wasn't a great game offensively for the Rangers, especially after that third inning. And we talked about the pitching already. Lorenzen should have gotten out of that first inning unscathed. Josh Smith not able to make the play on a hit that had an 11% chance of being a single. Dunning was not sharp today. Seven base runners in three innings pitched. Not good. This is kind of the ugly side of Dane. Dane does have nasty stuff. He can get a lot of strikeouts, but when he's not getting the swing and miss, he is just not on, and he was not today. Wasn't getting the swing and miss. ERA is up to 4.76 for Dane. Talk about truth serum. Looking at the stats, Dane Dunning has not been good this year. He's not been good. Dane, over his last seven games, has a 6.45 ERA. Dane has not been a good pitcher for the Rangers this year. It's unfortunate. He's a guy you'd like to see in the high threes for ERA, not in the high fours. But Dane, it's probably the best that he's out in the bullpen. Don't know. I'd have to go back and look how he did in like his first inning. Maybe Dane, like a lot of our guys, could still be a type of player that pitches for one inning, right? Good, effective for one inning, but multi-innings isn't going to be the guy. You would think, though, that Dane should be a guy that can log extra innings. I know the Rangers are counting on him to be that today, but I don't know. I think Dane in small sample sizes could still be an effective guy out of the pen, but I don't love what I'm seeing from Dane. I don't feel great when he comes in. Texas Rangers fans only, by the way, if you're not already joined into that group on Facebook, highly recommend. I know they're on a ton of different social media sites as well, TikTok, Instagram, all that good stuff. But go join. It's a good group. Lots of good people in it. Polarizing opinions that I don't always agree with, but that's being a fan, right? Y'all know I don't care at all if you disagree. In fact, it's what drives the entertainment factor in this live. People giving their opinions. Maybe you don't agree with me. It's okay. Put it in the comments. Let's talk about it. I'm not going to run away. The last thing that I want this show to be is everybody agrees 100% of the time. It's actually more fun and enjoyable for me when we have differing opinions. Now, if we're spot on with everything and you like what you're hearing from me, excellent. It's probably a reason why you keep tuning in. But if we disagree from time to time, it's all good. So Texas Rangers fans only says here, Dane gives up the long ball far too often. Yeah, not enough ground ball stuff, which is ironic. Which is ironic because isn't his primary pitch sinker? I know he has a decent fastball, but isn't he a guy that throws the sinker a ton? So it's just ironic that a sinker ball guy has a problem getting ground ball outs. I haven't looked at the ground ball fly ball ratio for Dane Dunning. I would be very curious to see it. In fact, after the live, I'll look it up. Too tough when I'm going live with y'all. That's why I need like a producer or somebody else helping me run this thing. Because I think I told y'all, I would love to put up like replays and get stats on the fly. Hey, when I get to like 100,000 followers or something like that, maybe that'll be able to happen. By the way, little plug for myself here, little pat on the back. We just hit 10,000 total followers across all platforms. Little milestone for Right on Rangers. We started with zero followers, zero subscribers back in January of 2023, a year and a half ago. We're at 10,000 now. And that is a big, big thanks to you guys, right? All the views, the likes, the comments, everything has continued to keep building this and keeping it going. All the sharing that you guys do when you put one of my videos on your page, I greatly appreciate it. 10,000 total followers now for Right on Rangers. Thank you so much. Dane Dunning, though, I hope that we can get better out of him moving forward. I think he is going to be a guy that maybe we can use in short stints out of the pen, but Dane, almost a 7 ERA in his last seven outings. Not good. Just not good. John, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. John says, you were on the money when you said Lorenzen should be traded. Who would want him currently? I really don't know. Over his last, I think they said like, it was either like 5 to 7 starts. Lorenzen has like a 5+ ERA. I think even like a 5.50+ ERA. Let me go to Lorenzen's last 7 here. I don't think I'm going to like what I'm going to see. I really don't. Last 7 games from Mike Lorenzen, 5.97 ERA. I mean, Lorenzen, the stock was super, super high at the beginning of June, and it has slowly dipped June into July. It's too bad. I really thought that the Rangers were going to be able to get a decent prospect for Lorenzen, maybe a guy that's a couple years away. I don't think they're going to get anything good for him right now. In fact, this might be an overreaction. I always qualify statements that maybe are a little bit harsh, but it wouldn't shock me if they DFA'd Lorenzen at some point. I know that that sounds super harsh, but I would not be surprised in the slightest if Mike Lorenzen was DFA'd at some point this season to make room for other guys. Maybe it comes when Malley comes back. Maybe it comes when DeGrom comes back. It's just not going to surprise me. He's on an expiring contract. He hasn't been pitching well. I don't know. You guys let me know if that's a ridiculous statement. I hope that we can still get somebody for Mike Lorenzen, a double A guy, a single A guy from somebody else's organization. I just don't know. This was just going to be a start. Y'all, again, this was a start. I said this a little bit earlier on where you needed Mike Lorenzen to pitch well. You just needed a good game from him. A 5-inning, 2 earned run start, 5-inning, 3 earned run start. You needed a good outing from Lorenzen right before the trade deadline. But let's be real about Lorenzen. I think I can sum it up really, really succinctly for you guys. He's not a strikeout pitcher. He doesn't get enough swings and misses. Even though he did do like a season high 8 a couple of starts ago, he just doesn't consistently get swings and misses. And he walks way too many guys. Guys like that in today's game have to be very, very effective at getting soft contact. And Lorenzen has been kind of like towing the tightrope for a long time now. I feel like he has been getting a little bit lucky, and he had some really good numbers coming into the month of June, and it just has not worked out over the last, I would say, 5-6 weeks for Mike Lorenzen. almost a 6 ERA, just ugly. So I don't know if the Rangers are going to get anything for him. And honestly, as Aaron is reiterating here, I think that they're going to end up DFAing him. You can't send him to the minors. He's not going to accept an assignment to the minors. So Mike Lorenzen, he can pitch in the major leagues. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a scrub. He belongs in the minors. Don't take it the wrong way. I just don't think the Rangers are going to be able to get anything for Mike Lorenzen of value at this point. If you can, great. Get something. Get a risky guy. Maybe look and see. Look through the draft picks for 2024. See if you can go get somebody's 2024 late round draft pick for Mike Lorenzen. Maybe you can. If you can, pull the trigger. Get it done. But if there's nobody out there that wants him, they're going to end up having to DFA him, which is wild. Absolutely wild, considering where they were at with Mike Lorenzen in the month of May after two outstanding months from him. It's kind of sad. The Rangers, I think back-to-back years, have had an opportunity to trade away guys when their stock was at an all-time high, and they haven't done it. So I don't knock CY a lot, because I actually love what CY is doing. He got us a World Series. But I do think if there was one criticism that I could offer for Chris Young, is not selling guys when they're at an all-time high. You could have sold Leody Taveras last year in June. He was hitting over 300, and he was as good as you were ever going to get from Leody. Same thing with Zeke Duran. Last June, Zeke Duran was hitting over 300 along with Leody. Both of those guys, their stock was at an all-time high. And as you looked around, you knew that they were going to be blocked. You had Evan Carter. You just had drafted Wyatt Langford. So the Leody, not trading like Leody, not trading Duran last year made no sense to me. In June, you could have got pretty decent value for them, and you knew that they were blocked at multiple positions. Duran was never going to be a full-time player for us. You had Simi, Seager, and then you had Josh Young at third base. Duran was never going to get full-time reps for us. So why not trade him when his stock was at an all-time high in early June of 2023? Same thing for Leody. You knew that Evan Carter was your top prospect. You knew that you had just drafted Wyatt Langford in June of 2023. Is Leody really going to have a spot on the team? You had Doley already. So I just think the only knock that I would submit for Chris Young is, can we trade guys when they're clearly at an all-time high with value and you know that they're roadblocked in terms of their position? All right, rant over. Texas Rangers fans only has some stats for us. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Dunning's ground out fly 1.25, GOAO 1.25, well below his career average. He's given up 12 homers and only 68 innings pitched. He's being hit hard this season. Makes sense. Big reason why his ERA is almost 7 in his last 7 games. Dunning's career high in homers allowed is 20, two separate seasons, but both in about 170, 180 innings. So if he keeps pitching, he's on pace to get pretty close to that 20 number. Just not going to go well for you when you're getting hit hard. And again, I'm pretty sure Dunning is a sinker ball guy. He should be getting more ground outs, but he's not right now. He's getting a lot of balls hit in the air that are turning into bombs. And that's going to get you a 7 ERA in your last 7 games. Let me keep on rolling here. So let's look at tomorrow. I think I've gone enough over today's game. We've talked about some controversial decisions. We've talked about some key moments that cost the Rangers in this one. And we've talked about the trade deadline. I think Ureña probably takes Lorenzen's place as a guy you think about trading away. I think the Rangers have got to sell at least some of the guys that are not as important. I think you try not to sell Heaney. Of course, you try not to sell Evo. If you tank the next 2 games and you go into the trade deadline on a 4-game losing streak, I think everything's on the table. But I think for sure you try and get anything you can for Lorenzen, even if it's a 10th round or 15th round or whatever, low round draft pick from this year. Try and go get something for Mike Lorenzen that you can put in the farm system. And then Ureña, start taking calls on him. I think there's some team out there that would want Ureña. Start taking calls on him. I think you got to get some value for some of the pitching this year. You don't need Ureña. You don't need Lorenzen. See what value you can get from him. Cody Bradford is about to come back. Mally's about to come back. DeGrom is going to come back in a few weeks. You got too much pitching. You got to get rid of some of the guys. As much as Ureña has been outstanding for us, I love Jose Ureña. On an expiring contract, we got to get some value for that guy. You can still make the playoffs. You can still achieve all your dreams selling Jose Ureña. When the playoffs come, Ureña would not be a high leverage guy. He would be a mop-up guy if the Rangers were getting waxed in a playoff game. Ureña is not coming in the seventh or eighth inning with a one-run, two-run deficit. He's just not. You know, in the playoffs, the rotation shrinks anyways. Sell off Ureña, sell off Lorenzen, see what you can get for him. That's what I would be doing without a doubt. I don't know if they're going to be able to get any value for Lorenzen. I do think they can get some value for Ureña. All right, let me look at the matchup for tomorrow. We'll do some scoreboard watching. I don't think the Dodgers and Astros play quite yet, but I could be wrong. Looks like they have a 7:10, a 6:10 Texas time start. So coming up here in about an hour or so. The Mariners also play at 6:15 Texas time. So we will be big White Sox and big Dodgers fans tonight. That sure would help ease the pain if somehow the White Sox were able to pull off a win. Fetty is pitching tonight for the White Sox. So Fetty pitched really pretty well against us. The White Sox offense is just absolutely terrible. And the Astros have Blanco going tonight. So look, pretty good chance for the Astros, I think, to get a win. It's not going to surprise me if they win tonight. Dodgers have a guy who might be an opener. I don't even know. It's nobody of note. So Dodgers, they have a potent offense. They're a good ball club, but I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for them to get a win tonight. But look, I'm going to be a big Dodgers fan and a big White Sox fan tonight. Tomorrow, Rangers will be throwing John Gray, and Berríos is throwing for the Blue Jays. Let's look at Berríos. Over his last seven games, he has got a 6.69 ERA. So we are catching Berríos at a pretty good time. Last time out against Tampa Bay, he went 4 2/3, 3 earned runs. Before that, against Arizona, he went 4 innings, 5 earned runs. Before that, against Seattle, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. So the man's given up 12 runs over his last three outings. So we're catching Berríos at a pretty good time. Let's take a look and see what the Rangers' opposing lineup will do against Berríos, or I should say has done against him in the past. Let's check this out and see. And then we'll also go through John Gray's numbers, let you know how John Gray has fared against the Blue Jays in his career. But that is the matchup for tomorrow. It is going to be a 12:37 Texas time start. So it'll be a morning game for me, 10:30 morning game. Looks like Berríos against Texas. Dolis 0-4. Robbie Grossman. Okay, can we get Robbie Grossman playing tomorrow? I already made my little spiel for Robbie earlier, even though Berríos is a righty. Robbie Grossman is hitting .444 in 18 at-bats against Berríos with a home run. Can we get Robbie Grossman DHing tomorrow? Please. He had great numbers against Gausman today, and he didn't start. For whatever reason, I don't know. But can we get Robbie Grossman starting tomorrow? He has a .444 average against Berríos in his career with a home run, and he's hitting .500 over his last seven games. Andrew Kisner, 1-4. I hope he doesn't play tomorrow. Nate Lowe, 2-3 with an RBI. Corey Seager, 2-4. Marcus Semien, 2-8 with a home run. So there's a few guys that do have some ABs against Berríos. I don't know if there's a big enough sample size to feel super confident. And Berríos is a guy with a lot of talent, but again, close to a 7 ERA, 6.69 over his last seven games. Rangers should be able to get some runs. Now, John Gray against the Jays. Vladdy Guerrero, 2-6. Horwitz, 1-1. Jansen just got traded, so we'll throw his numbers out the window. Kiermaier, 0-4. Kirk, 0-1. Springer, 1-5. Justin Turner has a ton of ABs against John Gray from his time with the Dodgers when Gray and Turner were in the same division in the NL West. So 43 a career at bats for Turner, Justin Turner against Gray. Turner in 43 career at bats, hitting .349. And Varsho is 3-8 with a home run. Justin Turner also has two home runs against John Gray in his career. Turner not really a big home run threat anymore. Varsho definitely still is. So John Gray, by and large, decent numbers against Toronto. We need a good start from John Gray. We need John Gray's best start of the season. Last time out, John Gray went 7 2/3 against the White Sox, one earned run. Granted, it's against the White Sox, but we need John Gray's best start of the season tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big game. I really feel that in order for the Rangers to still be legit buyers, they got to win at least one of the next two. If not, take the next two before the trade deadline. Rangers can't get swept against the Blue Jays. Got to win tomorrow. Hopefully, just like Toronto, they lost the first two. Hopefully, they can bounce back with a good game on Sunday. That has got to be the plan. Get a win Sunday, get a win Monday. That would put them at one game, I believe, under 500. One game under 500 for the season before the trade deadline. I think you're sitting pretty good there. Hopefully, the Astros lose tonight and the White Sox break the 13-game losing streak that they're on. I think that's right, y'all. 13-game losing streak for the White Sox right now. My goodness. Let's look around the league here. Let's see if there's any other headlines worth talking about before we get off. So on the homepage, MLB.com, Yankees, Josh Chisholm trade for three prospects. And looks like the Cubs acquired Pearson from the Blue Jays, a bullpen arm. Danny Jansen going to the Red Sox from the Blue Jays. Senga for the Mets, we talked about him last night. He's pretty much done for the regular season after a calf injury in his season debut after being on the IL for a majority of the season. Just feel terrible for him. The Brew Crew lands reliever Mears from the Rockies for a pair of prospects. So a lot of deals starting to get done. I told y'all I would have loved for us to have made a deal on Friday on a 5-game win streak going into Toronto. Just keep the positive vibes going. CY had other plans. We'll see if the Rangers end up being legit buyers, but I think they need to start moving. Start making some deals. Start trading away Urania, Lorenzen, if you can. Start making some moves. But hopefully CY has got a master plan. That's why he gets paid the big bucks. I'm going to trust him to make the right moves to put the Rangers in a good position for this year and beyond. Not a whole lot else to talk about, though. On the homepage, Josh Chisholm, the trade to the Yankees from the Marlins. The big story today in Major League Baseball. Hopefully we'll start seeing the Rangers cooking at the trade deadline. And I'm going to be very intrigued to see what happens moving forward. And then, of course, with the guys coming back from rehab, from their rehab stints, that'll be a nice shot in the arm. Maybe the Rangers still acquire a bat to make a little late push with a lot of games left against the Astros. I think, do they have one or two series left against the Astros? And they have one or two left against the Mariners? Definitely not a foregone conclusion that the Rangers could still make a big dent in the division race at some point in the near future this coming month. I'm not giving up on them yet, y'all. I'm not giving up. Would like to see them win the next two games, though. That would go a long, long way. Let me check comments here real quick. Let me make comments here. Somebody said on Instagram, which I know was probably like a super long time ago, but somebody said for the first inning play, Josh Jung would have made that play. I do agree. I think Josh Jung makes that play in the first inning. Josh Smith has been a pretty decent defender out there, pretty good defender. So I'm not going to pretend like Josh Smith is a terrible defender by any means, but I do think Josh Jung makes that play on that Vladimir Guerrero ground ball. I really do. In the trade market, I got somebody on TikTok chiming in. What's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. In the trade market, I think they're going to sell Mike Lorenzen. I think they're going to sell Urania. Hopefully, they can get a right-handed bat. Maybe Paredes from the Tampa Bay Rays, Yandy Diaz, somebody. I think they're in the market for an outfielder as well. I don't know, y'all. I'm really curious to see what the Rangers do. Just like being greedy and totally selfish and not being patient, I'd love to see the Rangers start making some moves now. I know that they're waiting for the best deal. I don't want the Rangers to sell the farm. I think that they got to make some shrewd moves here. Don't give away big name prospects for a half season rental. But hey, if you can go get a guy for, you know, controllable years, maybe controllable this year and next year, I'd be willing to do something like that for decent prospects. But by no means do I want the Rangers to sell big name prospects for a half season rental. Robert is a guy that I'd be interested in. And I do think that Luis Robert at this point could be a guy that fills a void in the Rangers outfield. Right now, Luis Robert, still with the White Sox. I know he's a guy that strikes out a lot. I don't love that, but the Rangers are in the market for an outfielder with the Evan Carter news. I don't know if y'all heard. Evan Carter is going to be seeing a back specialist. Look, I think he's still on track for an August return, but I'm not putting all my eggs in the Evan Carter basket. The back injuries are tough. Back injuries are really, really tough, y'all. They're very unpredictable. They're very sensitive. I don't know. I think the Rangers would be wise to go out and get another outfielder. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. I'm very excited and very impatient for Chris Young and the front office to make a move. But we'll have to hang in there. Deadline is Tuesday at, I think, is it at 3 o'clock Eastern time? I feel like that's what it always was in the past, but we'll see. 3 o'clock Eastern time or somewhere in that vicinity, perhaps. I don't know. All right, y'all. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully after a Rangers win. The game is an early one. It's a 12:37 Texas time start, so we'll probably go live middle of the afternoon, you know, maybe 3:30, 4 o'clock Texas time, something like that. Come hang out again. I would greatly appreciate it. Appreciate all y'all tuning in today, whether it's live, whether it's on the replay. We're here, post-game analysis, rain or shine, after every Texas Rangers game. So I want to say again a special thank you to all you guys for helping me get to 10,000 total followers across all platforms. That includes Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, X, all those. So thank you so much. Big milestone for us here at Right on Rangers. We started with zero back in January 2023. Thank you so much for all your support. Thank you for liking, watching, commenting, all that good stuff. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. One favor, though, that I have to ask of you guys, if you know somebody that loves the Texas Rangers or loves baseball, tell them about the channel. Forward them, share with them one of my videos. I would be very, very grateful. Let's keep growing this community we got here of good people talking Rangers baseball, talking baseball in general. It's why I started this channel, this account in the first place. So let's keep a good thing going. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers. Hope y'all have a great rest of your Saturday, and we'll see you tomorrow post game once again.